May the words of my lips and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. What is truth? Well, Pontius Pilate asked a stunner of a question with that. What is truth? There's a saying I remember hearing when I was quite young and it struck home. To every complex and difficult question, there is a simple and straightforward answer, and it is usually wrong. Not only are simple answers usually wrong, but so are single answers. We know that if we were to ask this question out on the streets of Saffron Walden, for instance, what is truth? We could get a multitude of different answers. And that even the good ones could give different responses, but all have that ring of truth. The scientific truth. Something based on observable and repeatable evidence. That can be truth. Although, as we leave Newtonian physics behind and enter the world of quantum physics, such truths become far more difficult to comprehend and verify. There's societal truths, those sometimes seemingly arbitrary whims of fashion and culture that seek to proclaim the truth of the day. Sometimes, of course, they're more than mere whim. They reflect underlying anxieties and tensions and hidden truths of the world in which we live. Maybe somewhere in between, there are the truths of the philosophers and the sociologists. Truths that reflect a deeper reflection and analysis of the world around us and its trajectory. I dare say that if Pilate and Jesus had gone on to debate, they would both have had very different understandings of truth. Truth is not easy to pin down. Yes, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Three powerful statements, each which was bold, each which was big, each of which was most certainly controversial in his day as well as in ours. And as we mark today, as we prepare to enter the Advent season, we remember Christ the King. We encounter one who claims not just to speak truth, but to be that very truth. And we hold that in tension with the idea that, yes, he was a king, but a king unlike any king before or since, and still is. Jesus was a king who was different from the moment he was born. Not, of course, in a royal palace, as wise men sought him, understandably, or even into a royal family, though through long descent it had some claim on royalty. But born to parents who were not much more than peasants. And he didn't even fit in with his family, for he did things that they found difficult and embarrassing. At the age of 12, remaining behind in the temple in Jerusalem, chatting with the rabbis, while his parents set off on the long journey home, assuming he was somewhere in the great group from their village. And at one point in his ministry, his family were so concerned about him that they gathered around the house where he was staying so they might bring him home, thinking that he had lost his wits. He was regarded as dangerously odd by the religious authorities. Authorities, of course, steeped in wisdom and learning. Jewish law had always taken into account the needs of the poor. It paid particular attention to widows and orphans. But Jesus took all that much further than it had never been taken before. Really, was there a need? He actually preached to poor people that the kingdom of God was for them rather than the sole preserve of the rich and the powerful. This was not a kingdom that anyone recognized. Human beings recognized pomp and ceremony and wealth with all the trappings that these things can bring. We may grumble about the cost of the civil list, but we still like to see our royal family putting on a show. We enjoy all that pageantry, the ceremony of the occasion. Even today, a royal kingdom which contains only the poor doesn't sound like a particularly attractive place. It certainly wouldn't appeal to the tourist industry. And of course, the sort of preaching that constantly affirmed poor people and outcasts was likely to inflame the passions of those who were the haves of their world. It might also inflame the passions of those who were the have-nots. And they might seek to bring in this kingdom by force. Hence the arrest of Jesus. The powers that be, both Jewish and Roman, were confused by this man. This type of kingship made no sense in either of their truths. They had heard Jesus referred to as a king. They were anxious he might attempt to usurp their authority, and the uneasy tension held between their authorities that just about kept the peace. And so at Jesus' trial, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And by his reply, in which he talked about his kingdom, Jesus implicitly acknowledged that he was indeed a king. Only kings have kingdoms. At any event, Pilate was sufficiently convinced to allow the title King of the Jews to be nailed at the head of the cross, even if it was intended to be ironic, to send home a political message of who really was in charge in Palestine. So what are we to make of this strange kingdom, where wealth in human terms is unknown or irrelevant, where the king is a servant of all? It sounds very much like a contradiction, and Christianity is full of contradictions. It doesn't make sense in a world that holds to other truths. The king is opposite to servant. As many people who have tried to play both the leader role and the servant role have found to their cost. How is it possible to have a king who washes feet and who seemingly cares nothing for earthly power? And how do you follow such a one? Perhaps the secret lies in the events that followed this encounter between Jesus and Pilate. For Jesus, it seemed only one thing mattered, to remain in the most intimate and perfect relationship with God. And against that, nothing else mattered. So that he was prepared to give up his life rather than move apart from God by denying whom he was called to be. But of course, it was through that death that Jesus really comes into his own. In his risen and ascended life, when the kingdom is that bit more fulfilled. And that's what he promised again and again for us, his followers. "Do not worry about earthly powers or wealth or anything else," he urged. "Do as I have done. Be prepared to lose all in order to stay close to me, where you will gain all. Take up your cross and follow me, for those who lose their life will find it. And those who find it will find the only thing that matters, God's contrary kingdom." Today in the church calendar, we mark Christ the King. But let us not forget what sort of King we celebrate. For in that King, we begin to encounter God's deep, rich, and ultimate truth. Amen.